So do we take question Q&A? Do we do question and answer? I'm totally interested in questions if people have them, or thoughts, or secrets. Yeah.
This is a comment on the Bush era.
Yeah, that and bigger. That and ongoing, yeah. 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 It's me having fun with some of that stuff. Our little relationship with other countries. Yeah. Yes.
Hard to write about intimate things like that?
I find it fun, but that's just me. Yeah. Is it okay to read stuff like that? Yeah. Yeah, I think it's good to write about stuff like that. Do you want more of an answer to that question? You know, Elizabeth mentioned that I had studied with Tom Spanbauer, and I think part of what makes Tom so have such an impression on some of his students is that he really encourages people to write about whatever they want to write about that matters to them. And that was a place where people would, I don't know how to put it exactly, they welcome my stuff. And that Chuck Palahniuk joined the group, too, shortly after I did, and he really clicked. He and I really clicked. He really laughed at a lot of my jokes, and I laughed at his. So that kind of fostered that willingness to write about things, you know, maybe that other people wouldn't write about. When I met Tom Spanbauer, one of the first things he said, I paid $35 to take a class from him that pretty much has never ended, right? I can keep going back at any time. That was in 91. And the first day, he told us that he was HIV positive, and he didn't know how long he would live, and he wanted to write what mattered to him. And when someone says that, you know, it was really strong stuff. And now, all these years later, he's still doing fine. So it was a little lesson in always writing what you really want to write about, regardless of how other people might feel about it, if that makes sense. Maybe I didn't put that right. It's not that I don't want to overlook other people's feelings, but...
Do you shock a lot of people?
I don't know. I don't know. Are there other questions? Yes.
Do you find it hard to get sort of stories that have that absurdity level in it published, or is that something that people are kind of gravitating towards these days?
I think publishing is kind of hard all around. I don't know, other people might have found it easier than I did. I haven't had an easy route. I'm always glad when people receive my stuff well. Which it has been received, but there's always an element of struggle to it, for whatever reason.
Do you think that that's the sort of absurd, like the absurdity in it is something, I mean, I know I'm attracted, like that's the thing I really love about it.
Yeah, thank you.
Other people love it too, what? I wonder if it's harder to pitch that.
What I've gathered along the way is that in particularly in Clown Girl, it's that my female roles aren't always the ones that we're used to seeing, and so people sometimes have a hard time finding a spot for it, if that makes sense. Yeah. And that's part of what Kristen Wiig really liked about it too. Just the female characters that are in it. So I think more than the absurdity, it's some gender stuff, maybe. I don't know. Yeah.
You know, in Clown Girl, the main character is a clown, and she views her work as art. Mm-hmm. And things aren't so good for being a clown, and so she gets into the position where it's kind of like she and her clown friends are sort of veering toward having to be almost like prostitutes.
Mm-hmm.
Or something.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a larger commentary?
I think what, I'm not sure if I'm answering this exactly right, but in the real world of clowns, there really is a big continuum of clowning. And there really are a lot of evangelical and Christian clowns and clown ministries who are very intent on spreading the word of God as clowns. And at the other end, there is a whole realm of clown prostitution. There are clown porn websites. There's like the whole kind of dark sexual side of clowning. And in between, you have everything else. I put them on that continuum because it's sort of from the, you know, hell to God or however you want to look at it. But in between, you have people who view clowning as an art or as personal expression or even just as a daily. There are people who just dress in clown wear sometimes who aren't professional clowns. And there are people you think are in clown wear who don't know that they're wearing that. But for me, it really... At the time I was writing that, I think maybe this is what you're asking, is I had a very hard time selling that book. or any other book, you know, the books I'd written before that. And to kind of keep it fun for myself, in some ways I'm kind of making fun of my own position on the writing continuum, that I wanted to write what I wanted to write, the way Nita wants to do her clown show. She wants to interpret Kafka into clowning, and that's what she wants to do. And she could move a little bit in different directions and make more money at what she's doing, but that's not where she's at. So I'm so, it was sort of making a comment on how I felt about my own writing a little bit. Like, I want to write what I want to write, but you can see there's money in other branches of it. Does that make sense, kind of? Yeah, so she kind of keeps sort of banging her head against the wall trying to get this big clown gig, and I guess in some ways I was kind of banging my head against the wall trying to get that book out there. So, yeah.
What's next?
The next book is coming out a year from now, and it's called The Stud Book, and it's set up at the Oregon Zoo, and it's about different people in Portland. It's roughly set in Portland. And kind of the whole question of bringing more children into the world. It's about the compulsion to sort of to have babies. I guess I'm a little conflicted about that. I've got a super cool kid, and I love her more than anything else in the world. But when I see a lot of kids, sometimes I just feel some concern. So I tried to just work that into a book. Yeah.
Will you do short stories like The Red Knight?
Yeah, I've got I always do these back and forth. But the, you know, then. The novels are more what people are looking for in publishing, I think. I could ask these guys. Other people might have opinions on that. But I like short stories, too, and essays.
I like short stories.
Thank you. I'm glad to hear that. A short story writer and reader. Yeah, do you write them, too? Just do you like reading them?
Yeah.
I do
because, you know, it's kind of it's a snippet.
Yeah.
You read it, and then it's done. And where if it's a book, you know, you end up staying up half the night if you're really getting engrossed in part of it.
Yeah.
So I like that little pieces.
Yeah, short stories can be so amazing, the way they can stay with you or kind of expand in your mind. You know, you just read it and then carry it around. And, and individual lines can just come to the fore. And you can just remember single lines. Yeah.
They seem more intense than because you're having to condense everything into a small area. So
yeah.
Poetry, I mean, so that you're condensing
it. Yeah. Other questions? Thoughts? Oh, over here. Yeah.
How do you feel about Almodovar?
Well, I'm not an expert on his work. I think a lot of it's pretty funny, from what I've seen. Some of it's pretty funny. Are you questioning? That's interesting. I hadn't really thought about that. I like his work. I find a lot of it pretty funny. I think that the actors and actresses he puts in on are usually pretty great to look at. They always are interesting. So I appreciate all of that, that element. I know some people have some controversial questions about his gender, politics, and stuff, but I don't really enter into all that. Yeah. Almodovar, filmmaker. It's funny you bring him up because he actually owns the film rights to one of Tom Spanbauer's, you know, he optioned it, but he's never made it. I think it's The Man Who Fell in Love with the Moon. I think that's the one. Yeah. I think that's it. Question? Yeah.
Could I ask you to read a page of Calm Girl? There's a copy of it there, and I just think people would enjoy hearing that beginning with the balloons.
Thank you for asking.
Tell us about the cover, too.
I love the cover. Isn't it good? This guy lives in New York now. I didn't make it, so I can say, you know, I can praise it without feeling like I'm praising myself, because I didn't. What is his name? I'm blanking on his name right now. But he makes, he bought a chicken, and he stuffed it with sawdust and took this photo, you know, and he worked on it. It was pretty great. Connection with the book. I cannot remember his name. He moved to New York to do to work for a beer company in advertising, but I think he still freelances some covers once in a while. Yeah, this cover. I told a friend. I said, "Oh, the cover's so gorgeous. It's just great. I just love it." And then she looked at it. You know, when it came out, finally came out, she's like, "It's not really what I'd call gorgeous." But I think it's gorgeous. I think it's great. The guy who made it said he saw this as a kind of Christ figure, too. It's kind of sexy, kind of Christ, kind of absurd and repulsive. Got on there. What's that? Plucky in the book? Yeah, that's a part of the book, that she's got a rubber chicken that is very much sort of like her child. And she, yeah, that's part of it. She loses him and has to poster the neighborhood looking for her rubber chicken. And then she just gets a bunch of derelicts trying to get money from her by returning other rubber chickens that aren't her rubber chicken. Because if you offer a reward for something like a rubber chicken, you know, it's pretty easy to come by, right?